You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie's.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from The Athletic, here with Sam Jam Packard, the great, formerly of WEEI. I am grappling with an IKEA bed right now. I'm in the process of moving this week, and I'm ready to launch this fucking bed frame through the window, over the balcony, and on to the Mista Mista lady at 3-4 floors below. I am up to my head with moving shit today. It was 95 degrees out today.
It's hot. Sweltering.
Felt like 104 according to my weather app. And worst part is they're doing construction on like a soar or something at my old apartment, which is a walk up like three winding floors. I couldn't park on the street. I had to park a street over. I was lugging fucking everything a street over. I'm not sure I've ever sweat that much in my entire life. Then I had to come back. My reward for doing that was putting this goddamn bed together. And
yeah, but that's your fault for thinking you're fancy enough to deserve a bed.
Yeah, I guess I should have just gotten a sleeping bag and called it a day.
Oh, just put the mattress and the bed frame on the floor. Look at you trying to be fancy, be elevated off the floor. I think it's on you.
Maybe it is on me. I would much rather not be elevated, to be honest, than have this.
Well,
did you
get it done?
No. It was podcast time, and I ditched you guys last night. We were supposed to record last night. I was already in bed after another long day of packing. Packing has destroyed me, and moving has destroyed me over the last couple of days. No lie, but I'm ready to talk Celtics. I'm just ready to move on, ready to talk about some good news for the Celtics. Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, both declared healthy enough to play if training camp started yesterday by Danny Ainge. So that's good news. Expected news. The timeline all along was to have those guys playing 5-on-5, whatever, in August. But the fact that they could handle a full training camp if they needed to today, big time news. Okay, I'm gonna take this in a weird direction, Jam.
I like it. I like the weirdness.
Okay, so because we've been so optimistic most of the summer, because I think you predicted 64 wins, and my prediction of 57 was the lowest, because there are a lot of reasons to be excited about the Celtics season, and especially the return of Kyrie and Gordo. I don't know why I'm calling him Gordo, but I kind of like it.
Oh, it's like the guy from Lizzie McGuire, Gordo.
Yeah, sure. The guy from Lizzie McGuire.
You know, there's Lizzie McGuire and her best friend.
All I know is Beans. Gordo. All I know is Beans, man.
Well, yeah, that's from Even Stevens, Jake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Bernard Beans, Aaron Guerin was a legend, though. Different show, still a legend. Okay.
What's your question? What could go wrong? Well, let's be pessimistic.
Well, yeah, let's go one by one, Kyrie and then Gordo. What is the potential downside to those guys coming back and joining the roster? Rejoining the roster.
That's a tough question to ask. I mean, you can there's media tropes about, like, I don't know, like Kyrie Irving being selfish and not like wanting to share the ball and like he's going to be a free agent and wanting to. Well,
this isn't about media tropes, Jam. This is about your opinion.
Well, my opinion is informed by the media tropes. I don't like what you're at. Kyrie Irving's a damn good basketball player. Gordon Hayward's a damn good basketball player. I don't see like what the bad could come of it from adding to those two guys to the roster. I think they could struggle early just because of chemistry, but even that is not the biggest concern for me. Just because like these guys are already ready to play 5-on-5. I think they're going to be in the gym playing 5-on-5 well before training camp actually starts. I think they're going to be there early September. I don't really like. I can't fathom an issue of just adding those guys. You can talk about injuries. I mean, maybe there's just a thing with a larger like playing time. Guys get frustrated. I know Terry Rozier is going to be on a contract year. He's going to want playing time. So we'll see how like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. But right now, all the guys are saying like the right things. They're saying like. Tatum said he'd be willing to come off the bench. Like I can't really come up with anything that I would see would be a negative of having those two guys return.
Okay. So Kyrie, the defense could slip, right? Compared to what it was toward the end of last season and in the playoffs.
But how many games did he play last year? And then they still had the number one defense.
That's true, but they weren't quite that good when he was on the court. I believe it was like 4 or 5 points per 100 possessions worse. And I'm just being devil advocate here. Obviously, my question was total curveball. Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward are, if they're not the two best players on the Celtics, they're two of the three best players on the Celtics. They are all-stars. They are fantastic. They are Olympic team caliber type players. They are going to help. So I'm just trying to think about possible downside here. The defense, I guess. I don't see the passing and Kyrie's willingness to share the ball as a downside. I thought he made, for the most part, a pretty obvious mentality that he was going to fit in and he wanted to be a lead guard. And especially when he was playing with Al Horford late, I thought their pick and roll dynamic was fantastic. Obviously, he's still a closer. He still takes some tough shots at the end of games. That's fine. You take that with Kyrie Irving because he's great at those. He's maybe the best in the world at taking those shots. But I guess defensively they could have a little slippage, like what LeBron did to Terry Rozier in the finals. Does Kyrie get hunted like that deep in the, like, does Kawhi Leonard hunt him? Does Ben Simmons hunt him? If Ben Simmons can get like a post game or be more dominant against switches. Does what about his defense can be exploited?
I mean, we saw the Celtics team with Isaiah Thomas win 50 games and he's
52 or 53 maybe.
I think it was 52. But he's a much worse defender just based on size alone than Kyrie Irving. Plus, I just think the Celtics have much better defenders around him. I like, even if Kyrie is like makes the team slip defensively, I don't see it as that much of an issue, considering the guys they have around him, the length they have, the kind of the switchable just number of forwards. And if he's really an issue, do you just plug Marcus Smart in and then you have a very stout defensive lineup? Like, if you're really getting attacked, you take Kyrie Irving out of the game and then you still have this like amazing creator in Gordon Hayward and a pretty solid of guys on offense around him that I don't think the offense would slip that much. Like, obviously you're going to want Kyrie on the court for all the things you mentioned that he does, but like, I just can't see it being that much of an issue. I know we're looking for the negatives here, but
And by negative, it's like whatever. He's gonna bring enough offense to offset his defense. Like that's obvious. He's one of the best shooters in the world. He's maybe the best ball handler ever. He's a freak when it comes to skills. The point here is like the Celtics have championship hopes, and I think those championship hopes are real. And so it's like, what are the flaws that could potentially keep them from reaching that level? Not what are the flaws that could potentially like push them to the seventh or eighth seed in the East. That's not happening. This is going to be a really, really good team. But the defense is something that I think guys will hunt down later in the year. And it goes both ways. Kyrie is going to give the Celtics a player that will destroy people in isolation. And especially with all the space around him, with really four 40% shooters when they have what I think will be their closing lineup in Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford around Kyrie. Kyrie is going to be just lovely. It's going to be lovely to watch. He is going to have so much space. He's going to have so many options around him. He is going to be fantastic. But I do think that even compared to Terry Rozier, Kyrie is not quite that level of defender. And especially like when you can throw Marcus Smart out there like the Celtics did sometimes late in games. So I do think that that's something to watch. Let's move on to Gordo.
Let's move on to Gordo. I don't like. Are there any negatives of him return, like adding Gordon Hayward to this team?
Okay, let me rephrase that question to you. This is a pro podcasting trick. Answer a question with another question. Do you buy in at all to the fact that minutes and touches could be an issue?
Not if they're winning. And so, like, it's really hard for guys to complain if the team is winning games. I think if they struggle early, maybe it's an issue. But I don't think it's going to be an issue for the starters or for, the top-line guys. I don't think it'll be an issue for Kyrie and Gordon because they're your stars. They're making upwards of $20 million a year. They're going to get minutes. I think where it could be an issue is for the lower-level guys or the younger guys. Like Jaylen and Jason Tatum have like had this role. They're like starters on a playoff team, and maybe they're not the go-to guys anymore. I think the biggest place where it could be an issue is Terry Rozier. And I'm a big Tito guy, but he is someone who is fighting for his first contract. Really, he's trying to secure that bag. And what happens if he's not getting upwards of 20 minutes a game? He's really trying to work for that contract. That's the only place where I can see someone getting like there really being like big issues there, just because he's trying to get paid. He's trying to show that he can be like a legitimate player for the free agency market. Marcus Smart already got his contract, and he's so much of a team player, team guy who impacts winning that I don't see it being as big an issue for him. But if there is minute, like kind of a people are upset about minutes, that's where I could see it coming from.
Yeah, I think Marcus Morris is a candidate to get upset about minutes.
I forgot about Mook.
I think he could. He's already voiced before the offseason, like, yeah, I don't know what part I am in this plan. Marcus Smart, as much of a team player as he is, and as obviously willing as he has been to come off the bench, I think it could be different this year because he's always or almost always been in Brad Stevens' closing lineup, right? And I'm not sure he is anymore. So if you start losing, all of a sudden that's an issue. If Smart's in, who's off? Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum? Like that could cause issues. So I do think that's somewhere there. But
do you think the fact that like sometimes they might start Aaron Baines will be an issue? We've seen
no.
We've seen the think pieces. We've seen Pina arguing that Gordon Hayward should come off the bench.
Oh, Pina, I love you, Pina. But God damn, come on, man.
It's the summer. All of us got to churn out that content. But like, some guys they're going to start Aaron Baines when there's a big there, and someone's not going to start like. Are the Celtics, like, we always talk about the NBA being petty. Are the Celtics petty enough to, like, care about whether or not they start the game? I really think winning solves everything. And so this is contingent on, like, you can't be upset if the team's winning.
Yeah, how are you going to be mad if you win 60 games? And most of those guys are going to average 30 minutes or close to it, right? Like,
do you think
top
they,
seven
like,
or so?
Try to, I guess, give Kyrie and Gordon Hayward like a little bit less minutes, at least to start the season, just to working them way back from injury? Or do you think they're ready to go?
I remember someone asked Kyrie about that when his knee started hurting him last year. This was before the surgery and everything like that. And he basically said, my minutes are as low as they can possibly go. They have been cut already. Like, I don't want to lose any more minutes. So, I mean, if it gets to a certain point where guys are like, man, I want to play more. And so maybe that'd be an issue. I wouldn't be surprised if they sit guys like for maintenance pretty regularly. Like, they're so deep. And I do think they want to use that depth. They want to utilize that depth in maybe unique ways. Brad Stevens has never been afraid to start a guy for a matchup purpose or to kind of experiment with different things. So I think maintenance rest games could be a thing this year, especially for a veteran like Al Horford. I almost called him an older guy, but I think I'm his age, so I can't be calling him an older guy.
I mean, you're washed as fuck, though. You're complaining about moving all day.
That shit was tough, man. It felt like 104 out there. But yeah, and especially when it comes to Kyrie and Hayward, especially if they deal with any type of soreness in their returns. But
I don't even think that will impact like the standings that much. They are that deep, and they can slide in. Like, if Kyrie doesn't play a game, they have a guy who's proven that he can be a starter in Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart, who Brad Stevens has all the faith in. So, like, you can make fun of my Celtics optimism, my Celtics homerism, but I don't think it's undeserved. Like, I try to approach this rationally and then figure things out. They should be a solid basketball squadron.
That is probably a better than solid basketball squadron. Probably better than that. Okay.
Enough of the negativity. We've actually gotten some questions that did not exist
when we started this podcast. We've also gotten some positivity. And before we get to the questions, I just want to say thank you, Manu Ginobili, for bestowing some beautiful basketball on us over this year. Manu Ginobili is one of my favorite players ever. And watching Twitter, reading Twitter over the past couple days since he announced his retirement, that has just been a whole lot of Manu appreciation. And I think it's well-deserved. He has, like, he brought a totally different type of flair to the NBA. And I'm not sure everyone, younger fans, appreciate. Am I now an older fan? Shit.
Yes.
Shit.
Yes, you are.
But I'm not sure that younger fans appreciate, like, exactly how much Manu meant to the NBA and to the Spurs quasi dynasty, and how much he impacted the game. And I think without Manu's flair and ability, like, just to play within a flow, I'm not sure Greg Popovich ever changes to the beautiful offense that they had a few years ago. Maybe he would have. Maybe he would have seen Mike D'Antoni's offense and the other offenses and gone toward that anyway. But Manu was like, he was just it was like an orchestra, man. Like, he was just out there riffing. And he was so fearless. And he would always compete. He was like, but he would also try shit that nobody else would. And especially back when he first got in the league, Euro steps weren't even a thing. Everybody does it now, but Manu was one of the first to do it routinely and to do it regularly and to make that a huge part of his game. And then, I mean, I could speak all day about Manu Ginobili and what he's meant to basketball and how much fun I've had watching him over the years, but this is a Celtics podcast, so I'll keep it to a minimum. But God bless Ginobili, man.
The one thing I have to say about Manu that I appreciate is just the way he casually attempted to do really cool shit. Like, he was never scared of trying like weird behind the back passes or like passes in the lane or just like scoop passes, just like and he just did it with such ease that he just made it look effortless. And one time there was a bat in the stadium and he just swatted that bat out of midair, and I think he doesn't get nearly enough credit for that.
But Okay. That was crazy. Like, that shit like that never happens. Nobody just swipes a bat out of midair. First of all, there's never a bat in NBA Stadium. Second of all, no humans just swipe bats out of midair. But that was kind of in character for Ginobili. Like, if
anyone was going to swipe that bat, it was going
to
be Manu.
If there was ever going to be anyone to mutilate that bat, to smack it out of midair, it was going to be Manu. The man is just a legend. He played with a pizzazz and really just a daring that few guys have. He, like you said, he would try shit. He wouldn't just try shit like in the fourth quarter of a blowout. He would try shit in high pressure moments that probably had Popovich sitting there like, oh my God, I can't believe Manu is doing this crazy shit again. But it worked. It worked for him. It worked regularly for him. Now let's get to the questions. We've done enough Manu.
All right, you want me to start with it? This is from the unbiased Celtics fan. Can Rob Williams replace Tice as the backup four at some point? I'm gonna go a hard no on that one.
Yeah.
I question the premise. I don't even think Tice is a backup four. But I don't think Robert Williams is going to be getting that much burn on these Boston Celtics.
And also, he's no four. Like,
yeah, that is not his role. He's a rim-running five.
And maybe he could guard fours, but a four at the NBA level has to have a skill set. And you have to be able to pass. And even if you're a non-shooter, you have to be able to handle it at the perimeter, especially in the Celtics offense. He is going to be, like you said, a rim runner. He is not going to be a power forward, at least in year one. So I'm going to go with a hard no on that. But thanks for the question.
Yes, appreciate the question. This is from Yabu of the Dog Gifts at Steve for three. Which player on the roster would you choose to take an open mid-range jumper to win the game? And what if it was a contested mid-range jumper? I think the answer in both situations is Kyrie Irving. But
I agree. But I do think there's an argument to be made that you might want Jason Tatum taking the contested one.
And because of his length? Because he's so tall?
Just because he can get a shot off against anyone. I guess Kyrie can too. We'll stick with Kyrie. We'll stick with Kyrie for sure. But Tatum can get a shot off against anyone. And the fact that I even considered taking somebody else in that question speaks to how much I think of Tatum. Next question.
All right, this is from James McCarthy at Daddy Dusky. And it's something we kind of touched upon, but do you think it is a good idea to stunt Brown or Tatum's growth with a possible move to the bench? And let's not even say a move to the bench, but let's just say less minutes, less of a featured role. Do you think that will kind of hurt their development?
First of all, I don't think that's going to happen. I think those guys announce themselves furiously in the playoffs last year and before that. I think they'll only grow, and I think the key will be kind of figuring out how they mesh alongside Hayward and Kyrie and Horford instead of having them replaced by anyone. They are going to keep flourishing, and maybe some of their touches will get cut into, but I'm not even sure that will happen. Those guys are just going to keep expanding and doing big things.
My one thing is I think you're just going to see like opportunities for – they're going to both have to be pretty efficient, but I don't think that's going to be a problem for Tatum as much. We saw him early last season just probably at his best, where he was just – he was the most efficient three-point shooter in the history of time. There were some moments last year where it was just like, all right, we got a bench and we were really struggling to score. Let's just give Jalen the ball and just let him attack and try to just throw it around. Or just like, we'll see what Jalen can do and just see if he can attack the rim. I don't think there's going to be as many moments as that. So maybe Jalen has less of an offensive presence, but I just expect them to get better. And it never hurts to play with surrounded by three or four all-stars. So I don't know if it's going to really stunt their development. They may get less shine or may like less counting stats, but I don't think it's like playing on a very good team with great players is not a bad thing for anyone's basketball development.
Well said.
Thank you. I pride myself on that. most of these other questions, despite being tagged reigning Jays, are actually reigning junk. So this one, they just announced – oh, this is from also from Yabu of the Dog Gifts. Thank you for providing the many questions. They just announced a Streets of Rage sequel. Don't know what that is. Which two Celtics would you trust most in a spiraling, sprawling, side-scrolling, beat-em-up adventure?
Yeah, there was no spiraling in that.
Yeah, no, I messed up, but no one needed to know that except for me, you.
I just had to let the people know you failed to read.
Well, okay, but if you needed to get two guys in a fight, it sounds like a scrolling beat-em-up adventure. It sounds like some sort of video game, like an arcade game. Like it was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game or the Simpsons game you used to play.
You never played Streets of Rage, bro?
No, I have no idea what that is.
Whoa. I'm embarrassed for you.
Okay. Well, let me
Streets of Rage was like those other games, but just better. So I'm going with, obviously, Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart has to be your top pick for a sprawling, side-scrolling, beat-em-up adventure. Who's number two?
I think the obvious choice is Mook, but my choice is Aaron Baines. I saw a picture of him riding a skateboard the other day. I could imagine he would use it as a weapon, a la Bart Simpson in those games. Didn't know Aaron Baines could shred like that. And he's as big of all of Australia. And he's not afraid. This guy contests every single thing at the rim. He's not afraid to get dunked on. I would want him in a fight. He drinks a lot of kombucha, which I don't know if that is relevant to this, but it's a fact I learned recently about him. Big kombucha guy, that Aaron Baines. And so he's my pick.
Yeah, I think Aaron Baines is a guy. Aaron Baines is just a ruthless dude. I feel like Aaron Baines, he would be in a sprawling, side-scrolling Streets of Rage game.
It's tough to get those words out.
And he would enjoy every part of it.
He would be laughing.
Yeah, like
how much fun he would have.
Guys would hit him, and he would just cackle. He just cackles in people's face. So, yeah, Aaron Baines and Marcus Smart. I think as swole as Semi Ojeleye is, and as tough as Marcus Morris is, I think I'm content with my two picks.
All right, I agree. I think that's a strong pick for the podcast. We've clearly transitioned into reigning junk. And so before we go on to other questions, I need to shout out my guys at Footfault96 who sent us a picture of himself wearing a Shoot a Three Coward shirt. It looks to be at some sort of music festival. It's him posing with his three bros. And I want to shout him out for wearing a Shoot a Three Coward shirt and then shoot his friend out, who is high out of his gourd. Like, oh my God, this guy is toasted. And he requested a shout out for both him and the guy on the right. So shout out to the guy on the right. Sounds like, it looks like they're having a blast at that music festival. But moving on to the reigning junk. Should the Patriots try Yabu at offensive tackle tight end after he flames out of the NBA, or does he fit better on the defensive line?
Ooh, I like this question. I think
this
D-line.
At Nick Graham.
I think he'd be a D-line killer.
He does. He's tall. Like, he'd be tall, way taller than anyone else. I think he would be a great tight end to line up next to Gronk, but I agree. I think he'd be ferocious on the defensive end. Although, I don't know if he has the anger. Yabu seems like a lover, not a fighter. I don't know if he has the anger for football.
All right. Part B of that question. If Yabu was born in Georgia instead of France and lived his destiny as a five-star football recruit, which SEC school would he have played for?
LSU. He'd be down on the bayou. The Cajun food, it's already kind of French. It feels like it just makes sense to me.
You know what? I don't know how you just came up with that. That was the perfect answer. So
thank you.
That was
thinking on my feet. That's what Raiden Junk's about. All right, I got another one. This is from John Corrales. Since I want to be the Celtics in-house DJ, which is something I'm campaigning for, please tweet at the Celtics, Jam Packard for in-house DJ. What is your fourth quarter go-to crowd pump-up song? I'm going to make you answer first.
I mean, I'm not...
Right now, I think it's Bon Jovi, or it's Welcome to the Jungle. We need something other than 80s rock.
Yeah,
we need some 70s rock. My first thought was Slow Ride by Fog Hat. That song goes.
I'm embarrassed.
You're embarrassed by Fog Hat? I don't know shit about Fuck J. King.
I don't know about Fog Hat, man.
Fine. Pump Up the Jam by Technotronic.
All right, I know that one.
Party Up pump by DMX. Those are my three. I got three genres for you. I got 70s rock.
No.
90s.
No. Even better DMX rap songs. We Right Here. We ain't going anywhere. We Right Here.
Now, see, this is the thing. This is why they need to put me on for the preseason so I can try all these things out. I feel like it's whatever the team responds to. You got to – or whatever the crowd responds to. But it's a tough question. I don't have a great answer, but I'll think on this. And so when I do get placed as in-house DJ, I'll be ready.
There we go. That was enlightening for me.
All right. Here's one from Mike at the Woods in New Hampshire. What three Celtics do you take to trivia night?
This is
one obviously.
Great question by my man Mike.
Jaylen Brown's my number one pick, but who are the other two guys?
I feel like Semi Ojeleye might know a lot about a lot. I feel like
he might, but he might not.
But okay, is this like this is bar trivia?
Bar trivia, general knowledge of things.
So you also need that guy who's gonna make it a good time, you know.
And Shemmy's your pick for the good time guy?
No, Shemmy will stay sober, and Shemmy will know shit.
He's a designated driver for the night.
He'll know stuff.
I'm gonna go with Daniel Theis because he was raised in Europe, and maybe he knows different things. It's a different perspective there.
I haven't heard too many European questions at bar trivia.
Well, just maybe he's just knows the classics of literature and things like that. Who knows? I bet his European education is better than ours.
I'm trying to think who else I would bring. You know what? Marcus Smart.
Horford.
No.
Bring Al Horford.
Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart would cheat. Marcus Smart would use his iPhone, and we'd end up winning. And I wouldn't know he used his iPhone, so I wouldn't even feel bad about it. But he'd be Googling answers the whole night just so that he would win. So Mark,
I was going to say Brad, but he hasn't seen a movie since 1996, so like I don't know about his pop culture knowledge.
Pop culture, clearly whack. So
I'm going with Al Horford just because he seems like a wise guy. He's a big SpongeBob fan, so we got that category down on lock. You know, the famous SpongeBob category that they have at all bar trivias. And then, yeah, I think I'm going with Jaylen Brown, Daniel Theis, and Al Horford.
I think you're missing out on the iPhone cheating.
You know what? I don't want to win by cheating.
But you wouldn't even know. Marcus Smart, he would do it secretively. You wouldn't even know, and he'd just be feeding you answers all night. And you'd think it was legit, and you'd still have that high of winning.
As long as I was in the dark about the nefarious actions of Marcus Smart, that's fine. But this is a good question. I like this. Good shout out to the Woods in New Hampshire. That's all we got. We managed to crank out a good, half hour on a late August podcast? That's impressive. Shouts to us.
Yeah, that is truly, truly impressive. God bless us, and God bless you guys. If you don't subscribe to us, you're stupid. But you can do so by searching for Locked On Celtics, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to us. Give us a 5-star rating. You know what the deal is. We're typically a Monday through Friday podcast, but this is the final stages of the offseason, so we might not be every day. We'll be close to it, though. We'll be here giving you Celtic stuff, giving you the content you crave, at least close to daily. And that's about it. That's all we got for this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.